Welcome to the In Conversation with Expo Stars podcast. I am Lee Ali, founder and MD of Expo Stars Interactive, an award-winning global live marketing and exhibition engagement agency. This is a podcast about leading the way in the live marketing industry and in business. In every episode, we speak to people around the world who do absolutely amazing work. You'll find an eclectic mix of stories and valuable insights on audience engagement, sales and marketing, mindset and well-being, business growth, and much more. We've been active in the live marketing industry for well over a decade now, and over that time, we've been very fortunate and privileged to have met and worked with a diverse range of inspiring business people. We ask them thought-provoking questions and share with you their valuable insights. We want to inspire you to transform your live marketing, engage your audience, grow your business, and enjoy the process. Happy listening. Hello, and welcome to podcast number 5, In Conversation with Expo Stars. My name is Lee Ali, the founder and managing director of Expo Stars Interactive. Today, we'll be talking about exhibition strategy. And obviously, we've had a turbulent 12 months in the exhibition industry. A lot of us moved over to online exhibitions. And what we're seeing now is that, you know, will there be a hybrid model? Will future exhibitions both be online and will they be in person? Talking with me today, all things exhibition strategy and the future, is Stephen Murter, better known as the Exhibition Guy. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Lee. Good to be here, as always. Good to see you.
Excellent. Thank you very much for joining us today. So tell us a bit more about yourself. I normally let the guests tell them because I was I can't justify some of the experience and tell that myself about you. But so tell us a bit more about how you got into exhibitions, how long you've been in the industry, and you know what you love about exhibitions.
Thanks, Lee. No, I'm like yourself. I'm in the exhibition industry a long time. 28 years this year, actually. I think I counted this morning. 28 years in exhibitions, and it's been a long journey, but it's been a very passionate journey because I absolutely love exhibitions, as you well know. And I suppose we know each other digitally and face to face for quite a long time. But I suppose where I'm here and talking with you is that we're both very passionate about success of exhibitions. And for me, my love of exhibitions is actually my love of people. It's really that simple. I love the face-to-face interaction. I love people's success and I love to be a part of that success. And in terms of exhibitions, I've managed shows, I've run shows, I've worked for organizers. And a number of years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I got really frustrated seeing exhibitors going to shows and, if I'm honestly, making a complete mess of it.
Yeah.
And what they would do is they would say, oh, it's your fault as an organizer that I didn't do well from the show. And it used to frustrate me because you'd give all these tools to people and tell them, you know, give them a great event, but they would then make a mess of it. So it really frustrated me. So I set up a business based on two of my passions, one being sales and one being people, into train people on how to exhibit better. Yeah. Really simple. There's no rocket science to what I do. It's very, very straightforward, but there's simple things that very often people don't think of. Yeah. And at the Exhibition Guy, what we do is we work with companies, both exhibition organizers and also exhibitors, on how to do better from exhibitions with really, really simple things. So when it comes to exhibitors, for me, it's about what I call the 7 steps to exhibition success. So it's about the 7 key things that you need to do to be successful. Because exhibitions, and I'll say this because it's true, they're the most expensive form of advertising if you get them wrong. But equally, they're the most profitable form if you get them right. And it's not about having a massive, big operational plan, although that helps. You need to have some plan. But it's about doing the simple things right, really. And that's my passion, is to help companies do that and do it better.
Great stuff. I mean, I totally agree with that. I mean, the reason I started quite similar to yourself was putting
people together and having those interactive conversations. And you know, for the last 14 years, we've been, you know, aiming to do that. But it's always a struggle, isn't it, when you come across exhibitors that don't actually have a strategy, and who, when you see them making all the classic mistakes, and you think, you know, you know, what could you do to educate that client? Now, tell me a bit more. How did you come across, how come, you know, you came across the name, the exhibition guy? Because it really stands out. And having seen your LinkedIn, obviously you're very prolific on LinkedIn. How did you decide that I want to be the exhibition guy?
Yeah, it's a really good question, actually. When I set up my business first, I set up a company, which I still have, called Your Sales Coach, which is basically a sales coaching and training company. And I have a business mentor, and he said to me right at the very beginning of my journey, he said, listen, do you want to be a sales trainer like all 10,000 or 20 or 50 or 100,000 sales trainers out there, or do you want to be different? And I said, well, I don't want to be struggling for business and struggling to be part of all that competition. So he said, why don't you do what you're good at? Why don't you do what you know and are very passionate about? And that's exhibitions. And he said, why don't you train in the exhibition space specifically? And I mean, I'd always thought of it, but it was just part of my plan. Whereas what happened was, when I started, sat down and thought about that, to me, it made a lot more sense to be niche, to be, I don't want to sound arrogant, but to be the expert in your field. So I said, I'm going to focus on exhibitions. Now, where the name came from is funny. I sold exhibitions for 25 years. And I remember you used to ring up clients, and you know, the way in sales, you wouldn't get through to clients. And the receptionist would literally put her hand over the phone and she'd roar at the guy, that exhibition guy's on the phone again. And this happened time and time again. And I used to hear this all the time when I was selling exhibitions. I thought, that's a good name. That just sums up what I do. And for me, when when you talk about LinkedIn, I set about on LinkedIn to really create a brand around myself, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And I wanted people to see me as an expert in my field, and it was exhibitions. Yeah. So the exhibition guy kind of just came to life through that name. But once I published it on LinkedIn, I started to get an awful lot more traction with people who I really wanted to target. Yeah. Now, if I'd put up Your Sales Coach, I was just another sales coach.
Of course, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So my hashtag, The Exhibition Guy, became, I mean, I have a reasonable connection list on LinkedIn, about 16,500 connections on LinkedIn, and I get 95% of my work from it. And I would say, in all honesty, if I'd put up Your Sales Coach, I wouldn't be in that same situation.
Yeah.
Because it's
you're absolutely right. Of it. Yeah. It's
keep it simple, Lee. That's what it's trying to keep it simple.
Yeah, absolutely. It stands out. Obviously, it says what you do on the tin. And absolutely fantastic. So obviously, we've seen a big shift towards digital and virtual exhibitions over the past 12 months. What are the common mistakes that you've seen that businesses have made when they've gone and invested in a virtual exhibition? So obviously you've had a lot of conversations over the past 12 months. I've seen you on a few virtual conferences as well. So talk to us about, you know, some of the common mistakes that you've seen.
Yeah, it's a really good question, because one of the things I come across a lot of people is they assume that exhibiting virtually and exhibiting in a live environment is the same thing. Yeah. It's absolutely not the same thing. When we talk about virtual exhibitions, I mean, one of my bugbears with virtual, if I'm honest with you, is this idea of a virtual exhibition stand.
Yeah,
it looks great and all that, but to all intents and purposes, it's just a moving website. That's all it is. Yeah. When we exhibit virtually, we've got to understand it's much more content focused.
Yeah.
It's about the speakers we can bring on to our booth or our stand and how we can get the right speakers. But also, it's about having very short, engaging presentations on your booth virtually that are going to land with people. Because it's very easy, as I sit here in my office, to say, okay, I'm going to switch off from the virtual exhibition and start working in the background. Yeah. And I'm not engaged at all. You can't do that on a live world. So my big tip right here is, exhibiting virtually and exhibiting in live in situation are very, very different. For me, I heard a great expression about the difference between virtual and live recently. And the expression was, you possibly heard me say this one before, it's to compare virtual and live. The expression was Spotify is good, going to a concert is great. So yeah. I do believe that there's a place for virtual. Don't get me wrong. I am quite negative about it in some respects because it has a lot of advantages. But I don't think it can cap what we do in a live situation. With now, I know we don't have that now, but I think what we've got to understand is when we exhibit virtually, it's different than when we exhibit live. You don't sell the same way online as you do face-to-face.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with the physical space, what you have is that element of curiosity, because if you're on the trade show floor and you've got attendees walking past, you have a chance of arousing that person's curiosity and get them on your booth. Whereas on a virtual stand, okay, people have wanted to go to that virtual space. And I read some research recently from Exhibitor magazine that some companies obviously invested in a virtual trade show floor. They were part of a conference, okay, but the engagement rate from people going to the conference to it landing on the virtual trade show floor, it was less than 8%. And that's quite staggering if you think of all the money that they've actually spent on that virtual booth. And virtual booths, believe it or not, are probably the same cost as a real life booth as well.
You've absolutely hit the nail on the head that I don't think people realize that the tech involved and the work involved in creating that virtual stand is a lot of money. Yeah. And I mean, you have to, like, you're the king of ROI. I've always looked at Lee and said, you're the king of understanding this ROI piece. Yeah. Or ROO in this case, or whatever it might be. And I think the bottom line is, yes, it's technically easier from a time point of view to go to a virtual exhibition, no question about it, because you don't leave your office in a lot of cases. But you've got to stack it up against what's the value.
Yeah.
And to me, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying for a minute that virtual doesn't work. But what I am saying is that if you stack it up pound for pound, live is going to offer you a better option. So for me, when I'm talking to clients, I say, consider virtual as what I call the icebreaker. So if I've never met Lee before and we do a virtual thing and I meet you in the NEC or I meet you in Florida at an exhibition after having had the virtual conversations, I'm already one step ahead, or I know you better. So it is the icebreaker. But if I want to do business with Lee, chances are it's going to be a face-to-face environment. And we have to understand that.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, there's all the talk about virtual, and I understand that virtual filled or is filling the gap between from the COVID time. But I think what we've got to realize is, in the longer term, what's more successful for business? Because if you take as a business the amount of business we've all lost or not got during COVID, it's going to be even more important to get that business back in the future. And exhibitions live, in my case, as I believe, will deliver that much quicker.
Absolutely.
That's the reality.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So in terms of looking at the future then, Stephen, what does that look like? Obviously, we have hybrid. And do you think events will be much smaller, much more regionalized? And are the days of the big Mobile World Congress with 100,000 people in the hall, are they dead?
I'm not sure they're dead, but they're critically ill at the moment. But there's a doctor going to survive. Hopefully, he's going to help them survive. But I think you've raised a really good point. I think, first of all, the smaller events will come back first. Now, ironically, they're probably the ones that shouldn't come back first. It should be the bigger ones, but it's going to be the smaller ones. And the reason being, let's look at the most important person in the whole equation in exhibitions is the visitor. Now, a visitor is not going to feel comfortable right now until talking about walking into a hall that has 50,000 visitors. Because they just won't feel comfortable in that environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, as an organizer, we have to think about the economies of scale of putting on an event that doesn't get the 50,000 visitors that it should get. It gets 5,000 in a massive big hall. People could be lost. And it's got a very, it won't have a great feel to it. So for me, the smaller events will come back because people are more comfortable to go to them. Now, we're hoping that those ones will grow, because I don't believe that the likes of the big events will never come back. But I think we still have some way before people feel comfortable going to 100,000 visitor event out there. That's just my personal opinion.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. I think it will be the smaller events that happened first. And I think that in itself raises a fantastic opportunity for exhibitors and exhibition organizers, because what you have in the room are people who are serious about doing business, okay? And what we've seen in the past, I mean, obviously, like yourself, we've both walked a lot of miles on the trade show floor.
Oh, miles.
So we can do away with the time wasters and the freebie collectors and your competitors, and we can actually have more serious conversations at those small events. So it's even more important now that companies have the right strategy to capitalize on those face-to-face opportunities.
But just on that, Lee, I mean, and you're so right in what you're saying, because I said this to an exhibitor recently.
Yeah.
He said, oh, there's not going to be 25,000 people at the exhibition when there was 25,000 last time. I said, oh, there might only be 10. Yeah. I said, well, isn't that great news? And he's kind of looking at me going, what are you talking about? I said, well, you're getting rid of the time wasters, because the people who come during a COVID time and make that effort are serious. But also, you're going to be able to sit down with and have a better conversation with your client, and you'll get a much better business out of that. So I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing more frustrating than actually having swathes and swathes of people, and you think, oh my God, who do I go for? Where do I go? And, you know, who do I actually approach? There's so many people walking past. And then, as you know, we end up looking at badges. And I mean, that's the worst kind of engagement that you could possibly have. You're talking to one person and you're constantly looking at other people's badges. Who am I missing?
exactly. Absolutely. The tire waste, tire kickers, as they call them in our industry. There's allegedly 30% of people who go to trade shows are tire kickers, are time wasters.
Podcast
last week with the promo guy. He's a guy in the States. He's all into promotional goods. And we were talking about this idea of, why do you just give away promotional products to everyone and sundry? Because that's just a waste of time, because you're you need to be giving it to the right people. And the right people is what exhibitions is about. Not lots of people, the right people.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. So what would you say in terms of strategy then? So coming out of COVID, you have a budget. How do you spend it wisely on exhibitions? And what are the key things that an exhibition manager or a marketing manager should be looking for when they look to invest and go to trade shows?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I did a session with some exhibition contractors recently, and I think certainly for the short term that this idea of the massive big free builds, custom build stands is I'm not saying it's gone, but it's going to be reduced because budgets are reduced. I think what we need to look at as marketing managers, people in the marketing space, is how can we reallocate or find a new way of allocating some of the budget that we're going to spend on the free build or the bigger free build to AI matchmaking, hosted buyer programs. I think what we need to do is we need to focus more of our money now on who's going to visit our stand, as in the right buyers.
Yeah.
Because as I said to an exhibition organizer recently, he said, you're going to need to develop what we call not an exhibition sales team. You have that anyway. You're going to need to consider a visitor team. So it's a visitor, because visitors need to be sold to go to exhibitions now, much more so than ever before. So I think marketing people will have to allocate some of that budget to a much more targeted campaign to specific buyers. So if I want to see Lee at this show, I don't want to send out 50,000 invitations. I want to send Lee something that's going to make him come to the exhibition because he's the person I want to do business with, not the 49,000 other people. So we have to consider where that money has been spent. And I think that marketing people will have to do that.
Okay, great. So what are the reasons that you can give to your potential prospects for you to visit the trade show? Obviously, you're going to have to get them out of bed, get them interested, and visit you. So what are the key elements that you need to pitch to make them want to go, oh, yeah, I want to visit the exhibition guy at that booth, and I'm going to put it in my diary, and I'm going to go over there and make a point of having that conversation with Stephen, the exhibition guy?
It's the value, Lee. It's like what you and I do every day. If I just punt out my services to everyone out there and hope that it lands, that's one way of doing things. And it's not a great way of strategy. If I want Lee to visit, I need to give you a solid reason why visiting me at that trade show today is going to benefit your business. Nothing to do with me, not to do with my business, to do with your business. So what can I give you as today that you is exclusive, if you want to call it that? Or what can I give you today that you're going to go, wow, I need that right now? Because there's a the term FOMO, which my kids talk about, or they did when they were younger. Okay. But it's this, I want to be first to get this, or that's really going to help my business. I need to give you even more reasons to visit my trade show now, or my stand or my booth on trade show. I also need to consider, what's the other value of the trade show that I can promote that's going to bring them? So is it conference speakers? Is it the seminars, workshops? What is Lee going to get by visiting the trade show aside from just me?
Yeah.
Because if Lee looks at his calendar and says, I don't need to go to that. That's not a great start. I need Lee to go, I need to go to that exhibition.
Yeah.
So I need to give him three key reasons why he should visit that trade show, that he's going to miss out on something.
Absolutely, yeah. And that is all down to education, isn't it? In terms of the way I look at things is, okay, what are the business challenges that prospect has? Okay, and what can I do at my on my booth to actually educate them on how to overcome those challenges? And I think, as you know, one of the phrases I love about exhibitions is, one of the first things that, you know, I say to an exhibitor is, it's not about you. It's about your prospect and what you can actually do for them and how you can actually help them overcome those challenges. And I think if you have that, that's great. So in terms of how does the engagement change then? So let's say we have a smaller event and you have a booth. What would you say are the key things that you can do to engage those people that you haven't invited but are actually on the trade show floor anyway?
I think this piece hasn't changed massively. I think, of course, the handshake thing and all that kind of thing has changed. But I think the engagement thing, and you and I both know this well, of the person sitting on the booth, texting their friends, reading their newspaper, sitting down, eating his lunch, or all those other things, we need to be more engaging. In fact, we need to be standing up, smiling, open body language, and I know this is going back to basics, but those basics haven't changed, because the basics of selling and the basics of doing business, despite COVID, have not changed. We just maybe need to understand that the lead time for people buying might be a little bit longer. We need to maybe ask better questions. But the actual process of selling hasn't really changed. And I think for me, it's about engaging them through. Like when I talk about stand design on my course, and companies who book a stand or booth, and they say, okay, I booked it, it's cost me a fortune, so I'm going to put everything on it. That makes no sense, because the visitor can't get onto the stand. We still need to understand it's simple things. It's about engaging. It's about smiling, having a conversation with somebody, not trying to force something down their throat like a lot of salespeople do, because that doesn't work.
Yeah, absolutely. You're spot on, Stephen. So what let's have some fun here. What are the, obviously you've seen, you've worked a lot of show flows, and what are the common mistakes that you've seen on the trade show floor, and what are some kind of the best engagement tools that you've seen as well on the other side?
The common mistakes for me, Lee, and it's funny, is the guy who just rocks up and he's forgotten everything and he goes, oh, I've got a pop-up, let's throw that up here. Oh, I need a bit of sell tape to fix the top of it. And they just lash it up and they just rock up to the trade show and assume it's all going to happen.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen. And they go, they look around, they go, okay, who am I going to blame? Okay, there's your man, Stephen Murty. He organized. I'm going to blame him because it's his fault, even though I, as an exhibitor, did nothing. So for me, the mistakes are, first one is not knowing why you're there.
Yeah.
Not knowing the reasons why you're there. And I don't mean, because I think I said this to you before, I have a client say, well, what do you want to achieve from the trade show? So I want to get lots of sales. So what does that mean? Lots, you can't quite. How do you know if you've achieved lots? So you need to be specific. What do you want to achieve? I need to hit 17 sales or whatever the number is.
Yeah.
Now you're really going for it because you know exactly what you want to achieve. Now it's a 3-day show, 17 sales. Okay, that's 6 a day basically, or thereabouts. Now I know. Okay, the 6 hours. Okay, I need to hit one every hour. You need to know those numbers.
Yeah.
What you're doing also with that, Lee, is you're buzzing yourself up to say, "Great, hit that target this hour. I'm going to want the next one because I feel positive about it."
Oh, absolutely spot on. Yeah, absolutely spot on.
You know, and I mean, it's like I said to somebody recently at a session in Belfast. I said, I was standing up in front of 150 exhibitors, said, listen, it's the organizer's responsibility to bring people through the front door.
Yeah.
It's your responsibility as an exhibitor to bring people to your stand. And they're kind of looking at me going, that kind of makes sense. I said, so don't blame the organizer for the marketing. Now, I'm not saying they're not always right.
Yeah.
But you've got to market yourself. If you're not marketing yourself, what you're essentially doing in my mind, Lee, is you're putting it out there and you're winging it and hoping it's going to work.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're right.
And
invariably
it doesn't work and you blame somebody else. But allied to that, and one of the most serious or key things I always say to people is we don't just focus on sales. Yes, of course, that's why we're there. But if you set one objective and it's, I want to sell 27 products and you sell 25, have you failed or have you succeeded? Technically, you've failed because you haven't hit your 27.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to people, rather than focus solely on ROI, return on investment, although it's hugely important, we focus on what we call ROO, which is return on objectives.
Yeah.
Set 3 objectives. So you mightn't have achieved your sales number, but you know what? I've just appointed a new distributor there, or I got valuable market research and I've hit 25 sales. So I've hit 2/3 of what I want to do and I'm well on the way to hitting it. Then you start talking success.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, one of the things that exhibitors underestimate is the power of market research and getting valuable data from your marketplace, because it's a unique situation, isn't it? Because you've got the whole industry in the same room over 3 days. And what a better way to collect that market intelligence than networking with your peers and asking them questions about, you know, the industry and what products they are looking for, what innovations are they looking for, and so on. So I think that's always underestimated. And another thing is, one of the things I've seen in the past is exhibitors underestimate how much activity they need to do to get that one sale. And one of the things I focus on is doing an activity planner, and we work backwards. We say, right, to get one sale, how many presentations do you need to do? How many to get those presentations? How many appointments do you need to get?
Yeah.
And to get those appointments, how many leads do you need to get? And to get those number of leads, how many hellos do you need to say?
So I love what you do. I love all the tools you have on the website, because you're absolutely right. It's kind of like it guides you through that process, but also makes you think along the way, because just allied to what you were saying there, it's like this idea of when you come back from the trade show, one of the biggest statistics in our industry is that 81% of leads are never followed up from trade shows.
Yeah.
That didn't come from Stephen Murtough, the exhibition guy. It came from CEIOR in the US, and they had surveyed. Now, why I'm saying that to you is what tends to happen is people will get back from an exhibition and they go, okay, God, I've been really busy and I've been away for a week in total between build-up and show days. And then you get back to the office and there's loads of emails or letters or posts that you have to open and you get stuck into it. And you go, I'll chase those leads tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow becomes another tomorrow. Then they don't become that important and they're not followed up. So why I'm saying that in connection with what you said earlier on, we need to have a plan or metrics or tools to enable us to say, how are we going to chase up these leads after the show? And I don't mean we think about that when we come back from the show. We think about it before we do it. Yeah. So when we come back then the first day, we focus on chasing up the leads. That's the priority. And then you start to see the real value of what the leads deliver.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think, I mean, in terms of the planning, we talked about the strategy before. I would say a gross negligence from some exhibitors is failure to plan for the follow-up process, okay? Because that should be part and parcel of your whole exhibition strategy. So it's not only, you know, what does our booth look like and what does our journey look like on the exhibition floor, but what does our follow-up process look like and how many steps are actually involved and what's next okay, what's the next step after saying, hello, thanks for your details. Okay, we're going to follow up. But what does that look like? Is it another webinar? Is it a meeting? Is it, you know, like a fact find? I mean, what does that look like? And it's amazing. I find, you know, 50 to 60% of the exhibitors I talk to don't actually have a plan for the follow-up process at all, which is staggering.
It's not silly. They basically say, oh, we'll worry about that afterwards.
Yeah.
And at the exhibition, and they do worry about it afterwards because it doesn't work. So you're absolutely right. Is like, ideally what you want to go into the show with is, you want to go in and say, okay, we're going to do the show now. And when I get back to the office next Tuesday week or next, whenever the comeback is, the six people are going to chase up to the leads, and this is how they're going to do it. It's going to be an automated email campaign or it's a phone call, whatever way. But they know exactly what that strategy is. And the tools that I know that you do aim to help those, because it's not a 3-day show. Yeah. It's actually a 6-month show, if you think about it, because it's like I said to somebody recently, if you get a sale from an exhibition, that could be 10 sales, not one sale.
Yeah, because absolutely.
Because if you treat the customer right, they're going to keep buying off you.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we have to think about what the bigger picture is.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I think just to touch up on your point there, it's what I feel now, it's a 365-day and 360-degree exhibition, because you have to look at, you know, as a 365-day plan, because, as you know, we have some companies out there whose sales cycle could be 3 to 4 years long. I mean, we look at some of the pharmaceutical companies that we work with, some of the aviation companies, their sales cycles are absolutely staggering. I mean, they have to, after they meet someone for the first time, they have to wait, 3 to 4 years to actually get that sale. So you need that process over, at least 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever your industry requires.
Do you know, it's interesting, Lee, because on that, one of the biggest complaints that I hear from exhibitors, just coming back to exhibition salespeople here, is that the exhibition salesperson would book the stand with the company or the booth. And the next time that person sees him is on site when he wants to rebook again.
Yeah.
There's no relationship there. And I work with an exhibition organizer in the UK who wants to fill that gap in the middle with, how do we keep in touch with our exhibitors, or in our case, clients, whatever you want to describe it. Because by doing that, you build a relationship that it's easier for them to say yes. I'm not just a salesperson who drops on their door once every 12 months, because that's just a salesperson. I don't want to be that salesperson.
Yeah.
I'm only a business person.
Yeah. I've been very critical of organizers in the past, because what's tended to happen is they've sent their salespeople to sell the floor space, okay, and not actually sell it as a business opportunity, because an exhibition done right and sold the right way by the organizer is a business opportunity, isn't it? It's a chance to be in front of your marketplace. Yeah.
The problem is, I think the problem is this, like, I trained a sales team for a company in one in London, one in Blackburn, and they're both the same company, by the way. Yeah. And the approach was very, very different. One was, let's think about what the exhibitor really needs. So is it 9 square meters? Okay, well, let's sell him 9 square meters.
Yeah.
The other approach was, oh, he's got enough money to buy 25 square meters. So let's get to 25. But that's not a strategic approach, because you're just thinking about it. Let's get as much money off him this year as possible, and we'll worry about next year. If you think about building a relationship with somebody, one of the most successful sales lines I ever used with people when I was selling exhibitions was, I'd be saying to them 24 square meters or whatever, and they'd say, well, I can't afford them. And I'd say, well, okay, let's start smaller this year and build with the show. Yeah. And that credibility factor, the guy was, well, he's not trying to just rip me for as much money. He actually cares about me.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's always what's right for the client. So if you're an exhibitor and you've been approached by an organizer, what are the kind of questions that you should be asking as an exhibitor to the organizer to make sure that you're actually making the right choice and that's the right exhibition for you?
I think that a big one is the credibility factor. So how long is the exhibition organizer in business? What's their track record? How and one very important question is, what is the average rebook rate? Now, I'm not saying they're going to tell you that, but you'll probably know that by looking at a couple of floor plans. Yeah. Who are their key exhibitors? What associations are they connected with? Because For me, the big value of an exhibition organizer is how invested are they in that industry? So if you take, say, the Fit Show in Birmingham, I did some work for Montgomery's, and they're very heavily invested in that whole construction world because they're involved with the proper trade magazines, they're involved with the associations. So it's not a one-hit wonder for them. They have to spend time investing in that. And an organizer who is involved with those associations, has those trade alliances, is much more heavily invested in getting the right speakers to deliver the right event. It's not, oh, let's just do a floor plan for a construction show and see if it works. So for me, it's about asking the organizer the credibility, history, and their alliances with other people in the industry.
Okay. All right. Brilliant. I think that caps it off very nicely. So one last question to you. What does the future look like for the exhibition guy, and where would you say we will be this time next year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was asked this question quite recently. I'm really positive about the future. And it's not because I've got my glass half full, because I just believe that being more positive leads to a more positive response. You're a very philosophical person. I know that for years. Yeah. And I know you understand this. For me, the future is bright, but we can't take for granted the things that's happened in the past. We had it too easy before COVID in the exhibition world, if I'm honest. Yeah. Yeah. We got a kick in the ass, if I'm honest, in COVID, which we all know, a very big one. Yeah. But you know what? That's actually going to stand to us, because it's going to make us more resilient, but also sell the benefits of what we do in a much better way. So for the exhibition guy, I'm actually incredibly positive, because actually this could be, in fact, even better for my business now, because I'm hoping, this is my glass half full, that people will need more training services. And that's what I do, obviously. Yeah. So for me, the future is very bright. Yes, of course, there's challenges. But you know what? It wouldn't be fun if it was easy all the time.
Of course, yeah. That's the key thing. I mean, you know, what doesn't kill us makes us a better person, right?
Absolutely. 100%. No, it is. And it's like, exhibitions will come back. I mean, the reality is, totally aside from what I think and you think, and we're very invested in the industry, exhibitors want it back because they need that business they've lost. Visitors need it back because they need to get in front of, get suppliers to help them with their business. Yeah. So there's no question it's coming back. It's just a matter of what format it comes back in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think most important of all, we are human beings, and we need that human connection. And I think that's going to be the biggest driver to getting exhibitions back. And I think as business people, I can't wait for the day that, you know, we can get back in an exhibition hall and have those great conversations. So, Stephen, it was a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks very much for taking the time out to talk to us today. And I will see you either at an award ceremony, being a fellow.
We're competing against each other as well. I'm hoping to get the context there to the awards this year.
Absolutely. And we'll see you on the show floor, no doubt, and or one of your podcasts or training sessions. But definitely, no doubt, look forward to your LinkedIn posts.
It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk to Lee. A man is as passionate about exhibitions as I am.
Brilliant. That's great. Thanks, Stephen.
No problems at all, Lee. Good to see you.
There you have it. A big thanks to Stephen for joining us today. And like I said, we're very positive for exhibitions to come back. Obviously, it won't be the same, but here we go. So tune in for the next episode, where we'll be talking to another Expo star around the world from somewhere. So thank you very much for listening in. And you can learn more about Stephen at the exhibition. Stephen, is that the exhibition theexhibitionguy.com, yeah?
That's the one, theexhibitionguy.com, or on LinkedIn as well, at The Exhibition Guy.
Brilliant. That's great. Thank you very much, Stephen. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you next time.